Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If there is one thing that is immediately obvious about the campus of Concordia Seminary, it is the walls. Strong, thick walls made out of Missouri stone. Walls that jut out and swerve and stick out in strange ways. Walls that soar up in a tower and in a chapel and go down into those secret tunnels that go underneath the campus. You also know, even if you've only been here for, say, a few weeks, that these walls don't always work so well. If you were in Summer Greek, you found out that the walls in Seek Hall were so thin that you could decide if you wanted to listen to the Zen Master or the Drill Sergeant that day. For those of us in faculty housing, we know all too well about basement walls with cracks so old the water has carved its own path down to the drain. And for those of you who live back here in married student housing, well, there might as well not be any walls at all. But there are some walls around here that are even more significant than the ones that we see as we step onto this beautiful place every day. At first glance, they might not seem so sturdy, prominent, as walls made of stone, but they rise up and separate and are as immovable as anything made of stone. These walls are the very real separation that takes place between us and our God and between us and one another because of sin. Now, you may not immediately think of sin as something that builds up and divides and separates. But this image is found in what is to me one of the saddest passages in all the scriptures, Isaiah, the prophet, when trying to comfort Israel, when they couldn't understand why God was not coming to their aid, says to them, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not too short that it cannot save, nor his ear too dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Our God, you know, is a God who desires to be with his people, save his people, hear his people. But as the prophet says, our iniquities have made a separation between us and our God. We have built a wall with our sin, brick by brick, one so high and solid and strong that now, the prophet says, even the face of God is hidden from us. Even our cries cannot reach across that wall. What's even worse is this does not only affect our relationship with our God. Our sin impacts even our relationships with one another. Maybe you don't feel like there's a wall between you and God because he seems so distant and far away at times anyway. But I'm pretty sure that every one of us knows very well about walls that get built up between people. Walls that get built up between us and our spouse, our coworkers, our friends, because we have wronged one another. Now, I'm going to pick on the men here for a moment because we seem to be especially prone to this thing because we don't think about stuff like this a whole lot. After my wife and I left the seminary and left St. Louis, unfortunately not for the last time, we headed off to our first call and our situation changed dramatically, right? Here, my wife was making almost all the money, but when I started at Gethsemane, well, I had a salary. I was making the money. I was the pastor. And of course, being a pastor, I realized very quickly the importance of developing my golf game. I mean, after all, you have circuit meetings and district conventions and even elders meetings that happen on a golf course. It's very important. And I knew that, you know, even though I was pretty good, I could be even better with new golf clubs. So one morning in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, I saw an ad for a new titanium driver. That day, I went into the store and bought it. Problem was, I hadn't thought to ask my wife first. Shortly thereafter, as I carried my bag up from the basement, she saw in that bag a new club sticking out with a fuzzy thing on the end of it and asked what it was and where it came from, and more importantly, how much it cost. You don't need the details, but it kind of went down from here, from there. And for a couple of days, well, the reality was there was a wall that stood between us. What made it worse is the model name of this driver blazoned right on the cover is The Judge. Every time I pull it out of my bag, there it is. Well, the woodcut from, if you take out your bulletin cover, the woodcut from a book of Luther's sermons that is portraying this gospel text for today captures all of this very well, this separation that takes place. You notice what drew me to this right away is all these walls that kind of look like the seminary campus going hither and yon and in no seemingly sense of order. But notice on the left side what should have been happening. There you see the servant kneeling before the master and receiving mercy from the master. He is in his presence. But at the same time, notice that right underneath that servant is, on the very left-hand bottom corner, is a prison cell. That's where the servant would be were it not for the forgiving mercy of the master. Walls, bars, a dark cell would separate the servant from the master. Nothing could tear down that wall except the forgiving mercy of his Lord. But again, in part two, notice right bottom center of that woodcut, Luther captured, or at least his artist captured this very well, this wall between the two servants. Look again. In the first scene, the servant has a sword sheathed at his side in subjection to the master. But in the second scene, he has the sword unsheathed. And where is it? Jamming into the side of his fellow servant. Cutting, injuring, harming. Precisely because forgiveness is not being shared. Not sharing forgiveness cuts and kills and destroys, because it destroys the peace and unity that God desires among those in his kingdom. If you're familiar with Matthew 18, you know that forgiveness was very much on the mind of Jesus and his disciples this day. Jesus has just finished describing his work of leaving the 99 to find the one, because that's what he was sent to do. He describes how the work of the church is to do everything, whatever it takes, to restore that one person who has fallen away. And this makes Peter a little bit nervous, all this forgiveness stuff. So he asks, all right, Jesus, forgive, I get the point. How about if I forgive my brother, say, 7 times? Pretty generous, right? Forgive a few times, you know, that might be okay, but 7 times, boy, that's an awful lot. That seems to be way beyond the call of duty. Maybe even way beyond what is wise. After all, somebody does something to me once or twice, all right, I can go beyond that, but 6 or 7 times? Aren't they just taking advantage of me? Aren't they just walking all over me? If I had gone out and bought just one more golf club, I'm not sure how long that wall would have stood in our household. But this parable that Jesus tells is about forgiveness not 1 time, not even 7 times, but every time. Every time, without number. I bet you didn't think much of this unjust servant in the parable. I didn't. I don't find him to be so much unjust as really, you know, kind of a jerk when you think about it. He's a whiner. He tries to swing everything his way. It reminds me of trying to listen to Mike Shannon broadcast a Cardinals game. I just can't stand it. Give me a little time, he says. I'll pay it all back. And you know he doesn't have the money to do it. He's not even asking for mercy or forgiveness. But what does the master do? After this bald-faced lie from this annoying little man, the master, Jesus says, had mercy on him. Pity, forgiving love for this pathetic little man. You see, it is simply in the nature of the master to forgive. That is his delight, to forgive his servants even what seems to be unforgivable. You who are in the kingdom know why the Master forgives, because the one who tells this story is also the one who saves his people from their sins. Because the blood of Jesus was shed on the cross, because God's judgment fell on the Christ, not upon us. And so we go free. Whether we owe 10,000 talents or 10, we are declared forgiven because it is God's delight to have mercy on us. God looks at us in a completely new way. And as we walk out the door, we look at our brothers and sisters in a completely new way. Or do we? You see, that's really the question in this parable, isn't it? Is there anything that stands unforgiven between you and another person? Something one of your kids did, maybe something you didn't do for your kids. A comment made in a faculty meeting that you didn't appreciate. A task that your division chairperson or division head wrongly criticized you for. A student who didn't give you, you think, the proper respect in class, or a prof who think wronged you unjustly. There's something there, isn't there? Something that stands between, something that cuts and kills, something that separates. This is precisely what sin does. But this is not what the kingdom of God is like. Perhaps as you ponder the future, what kind of congregation you will serve in, what kind of impact you will have as a pastor or a deaconess, maybe you've thought about how exciting it would be to be leading a growing congregation and taking a congregation through a building project, new walls, new facilities, right? Bigger spaces, how exciting that would be. But the kingdom of God is not about building walls. The kingdom of God is about tearing them down. Every Sunday, you pastors will announce in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ that those people standing in front of you have all their sins forgiven by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. There is no longer separation between them and God. They are free to go in peace. Did they owe 10,000 talents? Most of them probably not. But maybe some of them will. And the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross removes every last bit of that sin. But this gift of forgiveness is not just something you do as a pastor. It is something that is God's gift for us and among us here, today, and now. In the kingdom of God, it happens every day. So go out today, speak a word of forgiveness, because you know who the Master is. You know what he has done for you. You know what the kingdom of God is like. Go out, tear down a wall or two. We could use a few less, even around here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.